like to turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 18, verse 25. I'd like to read the 25th verse to you. Genesis, chapter 18. That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked that be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? The context of this verse is Abraham speaking to the Lord, and God has revealed to him that he's planning to go down to the plains of Sodom and destroy those wicked cities for their sin. And so Abraham is reasoning with God, and he knows that his nephew Lot lives in the city of Sodom. And he says, well, what if there's 50 people righteous in the city? Will you destroy the righteous along with the wicked? Then he makes the statement, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Thoughts that I've had this morning, for this message this morning, have to do with the attribute of God being just. God is just and holy. And that's what Abraham is appealing to when he argues, so to speak, with God about the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. He says, will not the judge of all the earth do right? God is just. But I want to look at that in contrast to the idea of God being fair. Is that the same thing when you say God is just, as Abraham did? God is just. Will not the judge of all the earth do right? God only does that which is right and good and holy, because he is holy. And when you say God is fair, I submit to you that from a biblical standpoint, the word just and the word fair do not mean the same thing. But to say God is just does not imply that God is fair. And that to say being just is good and holy and right does not mean that to be fair is just and holy and right. If you'd like to turn to the book of Matthew chapter 20, we'll read a parable that the Lord taught. And I believe in this parable we see that if the master here is a type of God, then you would say he is most certainly not fair. Matthew chapter 20. Jesus says, but the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle and said unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So he's going to do what's right. He's not going to do anything wrong. He's not going to do anything unjust. He's going to do the just, the right thing. So when even was come, and the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. When they came, they were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. When they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us which have borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way. I will give unto this last, even as unto thee. Now listen to this, these last two verses. He says, "Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen." Now I ask you, is the good man, this householder, is he fair? Fairness to me is more like communism, an equal distribution of resources. This good man of the house, by the judgment of the ones that were hired early in the day, was being very unfair, because he was paying those who had labored only 1 hour the same as those who had labored all of the day. The point here is that the point in the parable is not how that those who worked and bore the heat of the day were unfairly treated because they were paid the same as those who only worked for 1 hour. The point of the parable is the goodness of God in giving to those who had only labored for 1 hour the same that he paid everyone else. Remember, his point when they ask him about this is that you agreed. You agreed this was a fair wage when you started the day's work. You agreed that a penny was fair. And you entered into the work with that agreement that you would receive a penny. So when we say God is fair, God, that's not fair for God to do something. You've got to remember that the point is not about receiving wages for what you've done. But the point about God is his graciousness in giving to those that don't deserve. Matthew chapter 5, we have an instruction from Jesus Christ about being like our Heavenly Father. And this illustrates and teaches the doctrine of God's benevolence. That God is some good to all of His creatures. He is some good to all of His creatures. That's what benevolence is. God's goodness. God's goodness to those that He has created and made. Think about the creatures that live, that God has made, the angels, the holy angels, the fallen angels, the animal kingdom, those that have breath in their nostrils, the fish in the sea, and then humanity, the elect and the reprobate. And God says, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, verse 44, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. So there's the benevolence of God. God says for you to love your enemies, because God in his benevolence causes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. Now I think about this, and I think it's interesting for Jesus when he was speaking that, how he really, apart from God's grace, is the only one that deserves to have the Son of God rise upon him and have the rain of God fall upon him when he was living upon the earth. He's the only one that's good and that's just. The rest of us are in the category of evil and unjust. Now, the message of the gospel is that by God's redeeming grace, God takes poor, wretched, alien sinners and calls them with an effectual call. Many be called, but few are chosen. He calls irresistibly his chosen ones, his elect, into spiritual life. He quickens them and gives them the gift of faith. And God, based upon their faith, declares them to be righteous. Not because they have kept the law of God. Not because they have rendered perfect obedience. Not because they have not transgressed God's holy commandments. But because they have had a mediator, a redeemer who has fulfilled the law on their behalf, who has paid the penalty for their sins, and who believe that he died for their sins. And because of that faith, God says, like he said to Abraham, I'm calling you righteous. You are just. You are innocent in God's sight because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. So we are to be benevolent. We are to love our enemies because of God's benevolence. God is some good to all of his creatures. But beloved, I want to tell you this morning, and I know you know this, but I want to tell you again, that God is all good to some of his creatures. He's some good to all, but he's all good to some. That's the grace of God. God is just, God is holy, but I'll submit to you that God is not fair in the sense that he shows favoritism to some people. God does not treat all people, all creatures, the same way. Because of his wisdom, because of his holiness, because of his own purposes and glory, he determined before the foundation of the world to choose some people to show special treatment towards. You know, think about old Jacob there. He had those 12 sons, and he had a favorite son, and that was Joseph. Now, I'm not here teaching you parents that it's okay for you to show favoritism towards your children. I want to get to the point where when we look at this doctrine, how that God does not show favoritism towards his elect children. He shows favoritism towards them in the sense that they're his elect versus how he treats the rest of the world. He treats his people specially. He gives all spiritual blessings and heavenly places in Christ to his elect. But as far as his children are concerned, I believe he is completely even fair in his treatment with us, in his dealings with us. It doesn't mean, though, that he's not going to give a certain measure of grace and faith to one child of God, while he may give a certain different gift or different portion of faith to another child of God. But he does give us the principle in Hebrews 11 that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, and that you reap what you sow. Be not deceived. Evil communication corrupt good manners. And then in Galatians it says, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. So those principles apply to every child of God. And while it is God that gives you the gift of faith, and he gives you the measure of grace, and he gives you your spiritual gifts, yet he also gives you this commandment that if you diligently seek him, you will be rewarded with that. You will be rewarded in that. So let's think about that for a moment. We were talking about that on the way to church this morning. I felt like I was struggling with something spiritually, but couldn't put my finger on it. And then about 10 seconds later, my wife said, God's been showing me something about my sin. And then she went on to describe what God had been showing her, and it was the exact thing that I couldn't put my finger on. I couldn't figure out what I was wrestling with. And what it came down to, what it boiled down to, and she may even have to say it again right now, is this idea of pursuing blessings and trying to allocate time and have the free time to be able to do the things that I want to do, or have the money to be able to buy the things that I want to buy. And anyway, the conversation came around to basically the point of the demonstration of Christian maturity is not whether or not you desire blessings. We all desire the blessings of God. Amen. As a church, we desire the blessings of God. We desire him to bless us abundantly for Jesus' sake. But Christian maturity is not saying, well, I don't desire the blessings of God anymore. But Christian maturity is saying, I desire the true blessings, the spiritual blessings of God. If you're immature in the faith, then the blessings of God may be, I'm praying that he'll bless me with more money. Or I'm praying he'll bless me with a bigger house. Or he'll bless me with good health. But as you grow in Christ's likeness and you become more conformed to the image of Christ, then you see that the true spiritual blessings that God gives to his children are the blessings found in Christ. Having a closer walk with him. Being conformed to his image. Loving him more. Having more peace and joy in your soul by the Holy Ghost. And so as we grow closer to God and grow in Christ's likeness, those are the blessings we desire. And I believe those are the ones that Jesus is referring to, or Paul in Hebrews 11, when he says that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So for us as children of God, while it is God that gives us the gift of faith, and it's God that gives us the proportion of grace in our service to him and the particular circumstances that we're found in, yet every child of God has this promise given to them that God rewards those that diligently seek him. And so we need his grace to diligently seek Him, to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. We have to make daily the decision to die to ourselves, to die to our desires, to die to our will, and to seek God's will, to seek God's desires, to love and serve God above everything else, with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Is God just and holy? Yes. Is God fair? Well, in His dealings with His children, I would say yes, but as far as how He deals with all of His creatures, then I would say no, He's not. In Ephesians chapter 1, it says in verse 4, it says, according as He hath chosen us in Him, according as God has chosen us in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. And it says in verse 3, it says, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Do you know you're a blessed people this morning? You're a blessed people upon the face of the earth to have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. He says, as a child of God, you've been given all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. You can turn over to the book of Romans, chapter 8, and you read about how that because of who Christ is and what He's done, you have been, by God's grace, been made the very heirs of God. You have a right and an entitlement, a legal entitlement, to the riches of God that He's promised to you in Jesus Christ. And we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We have been made joint heirs with our elder brother, Jesus Christ. So when you think about Jacob having favoritism among his children and how he chose Joseph, gave him that coat of many colors, you can think about Joseph being like Jesus Christ. How God the Father says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. But because of God's grace, and just like old Joseph, when he suffered and he went down into Egypt and God raised him up out of prison and gave him that place at the right hand of King Pharaoh, and Joseph was able to minister the grace and the riches to his family to save their lives. So Jesus is like that for us. He's our brother, and he is God's choice. And he is now exalted at God's right hand, and he ministers the good of heaven to us. James chapter 1 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God gives us perfect gifts, and He gives us good gifts through the finished work of Jesus Christ. God is just. God is holy. It would be just. It would be holy and right for God to destroy the world with a flood long ago, and every living creature upon the earth to be destroyed for sin. But it was gracious of God to forewarn Noah, to command him and instruct him about how to build the ark, and to bring two of every living creature and seven of the clean creatures and his family and Noah to save them alive in the ark. It would have been just for everybody to be wiped out, but it was gracious of God to save Noah. It would have been just for the wicked cities of Sodom and Gomorrah for every last living creature in the plain to have been utterly destroyed. And now if you were to go over there today, you would find this great big body of water called the Salt Sea, the Dead Sea, full of salt, nothing can live there, and that's where Sodom and Gomorrah used to be. But it was gracious of God to send those angels down and to take Lot by his very hand and to pull him and his wife and his daughters out of the city. It would be just for God to destroy this world with fire, as he's promised to do, and every living creature and everything in this world to be burned up, you and I included. It's gracious of God, instead, to have sent Jesus Christ, our Savior, to suffer in our room instead on the cross, to save us, to purchase us back from our iniquities, to redeem us to Himself, so that we might be His purchased possession, tokens and monuments to His glory and grace, fit vessels to worship Him, to behold His glory for eternity, and to declare the grace and the mercy of God forever by giving us eternal life. Is God fair? No, but He's very gracious and He's very good. And we can't explain why He chose some and why He did not choose others. But if you have faith, if you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins, then you have great cause to to rejoice this morning in the discerning and the electing and the sovereign grace of God. God bless you.